Chapter 4. Incus Maximal, Hiboriax Cryoforge. Incus Malleus, the Hammer and the Anvil. The forge worlds, Incus Maximal and Malleus Mundi, hung in the darkness of the void like a pair of pearls. Orbiting in synchronous rotation, the planets pirouetted each other and their distant star like spireball dancers. Their thousand-year performance came to an end, however, with the intervention of a third astral body, a planetary interloper. In the cryovolcanic haze between the two frozen worlds appeared a Junker moon, the rusted plates and rivets of its impossibly armored surface dusted with ice. The rogue body materialized between the binary forge worlds, throwing the Adeptus Mechanicus planets into uncharacteristic chaos and disharmony. The hololithic representation crackled and warped before fading. Moments later, the planets seared back to full resolution.
Have the High Engine Seer report to Section 19 and reroute power through the Generatoria,
Altarius Phylax ordered. The Algothoria was situated 47 ice-crafted sublevels below Incus Maximal's frozen ammonia surface. But that didn't stop the resonant boom of detonations reverberating down through the structure. Phylax processed the cold code equivalent of incredulity. It was difficult to believe that the great arc ships of the Adeptus Mechanicus were shelling their own forge world. His frost-bitten face might still have been his own, but the fiber bundles beneath were enhancements that required a moment to catch up with Phylax's rapid train of thought and occasional feeling. In the ice-carved chamber, adepts and servitors fussed about him, slipping the multi-limbed fusion of metal and flesh that was his body into his new robes. The hallowed red robes of the Fabricator Locum of Incus Maximal, a position Phylax had inherited a mere 14 minutes and 32 seconds before. Fabricator Torxi had been lost to the Mechanicus when Vostok's Mons unexpectedly and explosively erupted, blowing its cryo-magma stack and accompanying forge complex clean off the face of the planet. Mistress Celestica had believed in meeting the Xenos invasion head-to-head. She had led her Temple Tech Guard from the front, out onto the spotless plains of Freon Astroika, at the head of 2,000 deep-freeze-adapted Cataphron battle servitors fresh off the assembly lines. Warrior specimens of Veridae Giganticus arrived on the ammonia flows in incalculable number, however, and the beast forms had smashed Mistress Celestica and her Cataphron columns to smouldering scrap on the plain. Phylax's predecessor, Morator Vulk, had simply locked himself away with a congressium of logi and calculus engines while the alien invaders overwhelmed cryoforge after cryoforge across the ice world's surface. Concluding their statistical analysis of the invasion and associated factors, the congressium disbanded. Morator then returned to his forge temple, disabled his Aegis protocols, and voluntarily uploaded a nano-infection that reduced the magnificence of his augmented form to rust and steaming spoilage. As next in runic line, the young but brilliant Magos Altarius Phylax became Fabricator Locum of Incus Maximal. Servo skulls and technodrones swarmed and swooped through the crackling hololithic display.
"Siege Savant Entari,"
Phylax addressed the master of the Auxilia Myrmidon.
"Is it entirely necessary to have our own vessels execute an orbital bombardment right above our heads?"
"Entirely necessary, my lord," Entari replied.
"That is the Hyboriax Forge Temple up there," Phylax reminded him. "The Mons Primus and planetary capital. It honors the Omnisire as a technological wonder, and it is barefaced blasphemy to demolish it with our own guns."
Bors Entari was a squat, heavily augmented soldier, more pneumatic piston than man. His hydraulics and barrel chest were encased in bronze plate and buried in broad hooded robes that were dyed in Omnisire-pleasing crimson. He was a veteran, blunt and lacking in imagination.
Without the contrivenant firing down on our position, my lord fabricator,
Antares said,
there would be no position. The enemy Xenos would already have breached our sublevels.
Could the great Ark's weaponry not find better purpose and employment in firing on the Junker Moon itself?
Phylax pressed.
Both the Eatnox and the Melancholia were lost in such an experiment,
Antares said.
The body's defences are too thick. Armour, shielding, and presumed moon rock beneath. Even the greatest of the machine god's blessed weapons have failed to make an impression.
And what of our ground troops?
Phylax said. A Skitarii officer stepped forwards with his gas-masked head bowed. He was dressed in a mixture of ceremonial chainmail and white camouflage robes lined with fur. He had clearly seen recent action. Like Phylax himself, the Skitarii officer's promotion had also been an impromptu necessity.
Trib,
the soldier began before correcting himself,
Master Andromach of the Incunian Temple Praetoriax. Master Andromach,
Phylax acknowledged.
My lord, the master of Skitarii said, even allowing for strategic models and assembly line reinforcement, our losses are grievous. Many of our armoured and Cataphron contingents were lost during first contact at Freona Stroika. Skitarii of the Phaedric 10th Denticle and the artillery batteries of the Bastilleria Algistra have been decimated at Horsengrad, and the Novolaris trenchworks are overrun.
Even the great war machine Ordinatus Incus lies in ruin on the plain of Acromat,
Siege Savant Antari added.
Our numbers have been bolstered by the accelerated VAT production of gun servitors,
Master Andromach admitted.
But the genitors are unhappy with the results. The demands of an expedited process have created a higher rate of failures and abominates. Beyond that, the munitomats are barely configured, and the enhanced infantry is fresh off the surgical slab.
But we have veteran Temple Guard.
The mainstay of our forces were garrisoned at each of the regional Mons capitals,
Master Andromach told him.
Many of the forge temples, crowning the cryo-volcanoes, were destroyed in the eruptions.
Estimated operational capacity?
The fabricator locum asked.
20.67%, Andromach said. Estimated.
With such a force, Master Andromach, can you conceive of a defensive strategy or tactical advantage that might meet the demands of these extraordinary events?
No, Fabricator Locum, Andromach replied simply. Complex tactics can be met with complex tactics. They create options. The Veridi Giganticus restrict our responses with strategic simplicity. There are just more of them. Beyond a certain magnitude, the numbers will not be worked or contrived. In my opinion, we are beyond that point.
Estimated planetary casualties?
Phylax asked.
80 million.
Phylax's spindly high logist informed him, scuttling forwards. As calculus principal of the Congressium, he was best placed to make such an astronomical estimate.
And rising, Lord Fabricator.
Has the Congressium revised its statistical appraisal?
Phylax queried.
Only downwards, my lord,
the high logist replied.
As the full magnitude of the Xenos invasion has been revealed to us, we have collated data and updated our recommendations. We submit for your consideration a revised estimation of 0.4% chance of victory.
You're saying that we cannot repel this invasion?
We're saying that the machine god servants on Incus Maximal cannot survive this invasion, my lord.
Altarius Phylax allowed himself a moment to process what his high logist was saying.
And of our sister forge world?
By the vast majority of comparative measures, data from Malleus Mundi tells us they are faring worse than we are,
the high logist informed him.
Siege Savant? They have the Legio Fornax,
Bors Antares said,
and what I wouldn't give for their god machines right now on our hallowed ice.
Ambassador Eutherica,
Phylax called.
Lord Fabricator?
A silver-skinned crone in dark robes said, as she presented herself before him. Her aged face was overlaid with circuitry that glittered with tiny synaptic sparks.
Do we have word or cant from the Lady of the Furnace?
Phylax asked the ambassador from Malleus Mundi. The crone cackled code back at him before drifting absently into Gothic.
Only that she would have you know that the Titans of the Legio Fornax bring down the vengeance of the Omnisire on the Xenos Vermin, and, machine god willing, shall burn them from the glacial surface of our world.
I don't mean to contradict the ambassador, Savant and Tauri began. Proceed,
Phylax invited. The hololith magnified the Malleus Mundi forge world. Even from orbit, the planetary damage was obvious and catastrophic. One half of the planet had been torn up and reduced to berg-scattered slush. Mons temples and cryoforge clusters streamed black destruction, and the glittering white surface of the ice world was clouded with a black murk of alien hordes, swallowing the world like a growing shadow.
"They're troop movements," Phylax said,
understanding immediately what the siege savant was attempting to communicate.
"Yes, my lord."
"I suspect," the fabricator locum said, "that our own world appears similarly from orbit."
"I can bring up the..."
"That won't be necessary,"
Phylax told Intari. Altarius Phylax tried to reach out beyond the cold logic of his directives and protocols. This was not without difficulty, and felt vague and unnatural. Feel he did, however, and he found his way to a part of his humanity all but forgotten, the part that ached without reason for those lost to him and those he was losing. He allowed fancies and visualizations to sear sharply to focus in his mind. He dwelled on the dead, their corpses hacked to meat and wiring on the ice. He hurt for the living, those blankly processing their last orders and impulses under the barbarian invaders' blades. He experienced a connection, something that didn't require cant or code, but travelled broad and far. A connection not only between himself and all Incusians, but also between the billion victims of the Twin Forge Worlds. The feeling was incredible and unpleasant. He indulged its overwhelming power a moment more before allowing the prejudice of his protocols their former supremacy.
"Ambassador, Legio Fornax or not, I think that the Lady of the Furnace has to accept her Forge World is lost,"
Phylax said finally. The crone said nothing. The attendant magi and forge masters stiffened.
"As must I." "What do you mean, Lord Fabricator?" the hylogist asked. "I mean, it is time to let Incus Maximal go."
"The Lord's Diagnostica will not sanction such an action,"
the hylogist informed Phylax with cautious force.
"They will speak against it at the machine altars. They will claim Incus Maximal as the Omnisire's sovereign territory and the machine god's subjects as the ordained defenders of such rights, to the last man and machine."
"This is not a cult matter,"
Phylax said simply.
"Besides, as Fabricator Locum, do I not speak for the Omnisire on Incus Maximal?"
"Yes, my lord."
"Then it is decided. If I don't act now, right now, there won't be anyone left at the machine altars to preach to,"
Altarius Phylax said. He looked to Ambassador Eutherica.
"Perhaps our action might stir the Lady of the Furnace to similar mercies and to defy the will of her own diagnosticians."
"You speak of mercy, my lord. A most illogical..."
the hylogist began.
"I speak of sense,"
Phylax interrupted.
"Common and good. A most omniscient virtue, I assure you. The enemy have invaded. The enemy has succeeded. The machine god does not demand the lives of all in order for such a precept to be accepted. Savant Intari."
"Yes, Lord Fabricator."
"I mean to evacuate all remaining Incusians from the Forge World surface. The Lord's Diagnostica will be charged with the preservation of the machine altars and the transfer of techno-divinity and knowledge contained within. The Hylogist and the Congressium will begin ratiocination and matrices for a successful off-world evacuation of all surviving tech-priests, menials, and technologies and constructs that can be transferred. Materiel is to remain. Skitari forces are to disable or destroy what cannot be moved upon withdrawal."
"Is that not blasphemy, my lord?"
Master Andromach put to Phylax.
It would be blasphemy to allow the machine god's holy instruments and the spirits within to be scrapped and corrupted to alien purpose, the fabricator locum insisted. I expect you to communicate such reality to your forces, Master Andromach. It will lend them certainty and help them through their conflicting protocols.
And from me, my lord? Antari asked.
A planetary exodus point, Siege Savant, Phylax said. A hold point through which to funnel fleeing Forge Worlders.
Antari nodded.
There is an auxiliary spaceport near the northern pole, the Lambda Guard. It's a freight station, largely automated, that is principally used for the storage and exportation of scrap and toxic materials.
But the temperatures, Master Andromach began.
The polar conditions will be a challenge, even for native incursions, Antari admitted. But similarly so for the alien invader. The region has the smallest concentration of enemy forces on the planet.
It sounds serviceable, the fabricator locum said. Depots and storage terminals for waiting evacuees. Ice strips for ferrying transports.
But the deep cold, my lord, Andromach pressed. Think of the losses.
They will be less than if we evacuate survivors through the Xenos hordes, Phylax said. I'd rather our people took their chances with their home world than with the enemy.
Yes, Lord Fabricator.
Siege Savant, Phylax ordered, looking at Antari. You must now fight a rearguard action. You must order the Ark vessels, Contrivenant, Archmagi Alpharats, and the Weakness of Flesh, to risk low orbit and receive as many Forge Worlders as they can from the pole. Find hump shuttles, freight skiffs, lighters, anything that can carry survivors. They must keep evacuating survivors from the Lambda Guard for as long as they can. The Congressium will consider how best to communicate our intentions to defending forces and the Forge World populace.
What if the invaders hit the Ark ships? The Hylogist posited.
Antari shook his head.
So far, the aliens' tactics have not run to anything approaching such complexity, the Siege Savant informed him. They want the planet. They want it by force.
Three vessels will not be enough for your survivors,
Ambassador Eutherica piped up, morose and subdued.
And what would you suggest, Ambassador? Phylax challenged. I hope to the machine god you're right. I hope that the invader leaves that many Forge Worlders alive.
Use my diplomatic protocols, Eutherica offered. They carry the authority of an Archmagos or Collegia Imperatrix. Use them to order the factory ships, the frigate Ratchet and the Titanica Temple Supertransport Deus Charius off station above Malleus Mundi to participate in the evacuation.
Ambassador, the Lady of the Furnace may still need those vessels, Phylax protested.
She will not, Eutherica insisted. The Lady will die on her Forge World with her people. Her Diagnostica priests will not allow anything else. They lack your flesh wisdom, Lord Phylax.
Altarius Phylax nodded his appreciation.
We shall honour the Lady's sacrifice, he told the Ambassador. And if I live to see the day, I will personally lead the effort to take her Forge World back from the Xenos, along with my own.
The Ambassador bowed her aged features and handed Bors Antari her protocols.
Where shall we go?
The Hylogist asked.
Corwards, Altarius Phylax said. We shall join forces with our brother priests on the Forge Worlds of the Inner Segmentum.
And if we experience failure there, the Hylogist pushed him.
Then, Omnisire willing, to the Forge World Principle,
the Fabricator Locum told him grimly,
where we shall fight on the holy red earth of Mars itself. Pray to the Machine God that it does not come to that.